Morning, everyone. If you recall, on Wednesday we spoke about the fact that the Jewish experience, when you feel a high because of davening, or you feel a high because of hearing a great chiddush, or you feel a high because Rosh Hashanah davening was so gorgeous, and seeing all the people in shul really did it for you, or you saw people dancing at the Kotel Friday night, and you go in ahead and you join them. All these things are what we call what? What do people on the street call them? Highs. A spiritual moment, or a spiritual experience, whatever it might be. And if you turn to page 61 in the book, you'll see that, all in all, as we said on Wednesday, having a spiritual experience is very important, because without it, it's going to become boring. It's going to be the form, or to be more precise, you're going to go through the motions, and as my good friend Rabbi Daniel Cohn of Stanford says, without the emotions. In other words, you put on the tefillin, you go to shul, you make kiddush, you'll do everything you're supposed to do, but it will mean nothing. And therefore, the Jewish experience is as important as doing what Halacha says. But I did say on Wednesday that when you have to put it on a hierarchy, loving someone each and every day is far more important than having a once-a-year anniversary trip. Having said that, we're going to talk about the spiritual experience today. Knowing that it's important, knowing that there's room for it, knowing that it's part and parcel of Judaism. And here I want to make a very clear distinction between two things. Between a spiritual high and a personal high. Many a times there are people that love to dance. But they don't just dance on the street. Where do they dance? In shul, on Friday night, when the congregation is accepting Shabbos. So instead of calling it my high, they call it a spiritual high. Well, let me put it another way. We all are part of Judaism. But let's just say your name was Judy. And you don't believe in any religion. You made up your own religion. And you decided that after writing all the books on your religion, you're going to name it after yourself. What is that religion going to be called? Judaism, just with a Y. My question is, when you have that so-called spiritual high, is it a spiritual high? Do you feel closer to God? Do you feel closer to Torah? Do you feel closer to your Judaism? Or is it a personal high? And that's something that I think that has to be very clear. Anytime we feel that elevated high, is it us feeling great? Or is it getting close to God that makes us feel great? Yes, Bruce.
Well, this is a fine distinction, but I'm not sure my question is tremendous about that distinction. I was going to ask if people can be taught to the experience, or if it comes from within them, whichever experience we're talking
about. I think that it's a very complicated question. If you recall, we spent an entire year on the question of, and now what? We did a mitzvah, now what? What are we supposed to feel? What are we supposed to experience? And I said at the outset, and I say again, no one can dictate for you an experience. No one can come along and say, you have to feel. But there's no question, in my mind, that a Jew cannot be primitive in the sense that he does this with his hands every morning, and he does this with the mezuzah, and he eats this with the matzah, and he shakes this with the lulav, and that's where it ends.
But some people seem much more spiritual than others, and I wonder if it's within them, or...
That's exactly what we're going to try to establish together. So, at the beginning here on page 61, Rav Amital, or his name, quotes a beautiful Egle Tal. Who was the Egle Tal? The Sachacha of a Rebbe, who wrote the Avni Nezer, wrote the Egle Tal, which is his book on Melachos of Shabbos. Beautiful, beautiful sefer, very, very sharp, as is his way. And in the beginning of his sefer, he writes a sharp comment. He says that he heard certain people that make a mistake. Ve'amru, and they said, ki alomenu mechadesh chidushim v'sameach u'mitaneg b'limudo, ein ze limud kol kach lishmo. That if a person learns Torah and has an insight and gets very happy that he came to an insight, it's not Torah Lishma. What's Torah Lishma?
Not enjoying. Not getting excited.
God forbid. What's Torah Lishma? Torah for its own sake. It's not for its own sake because you're getting happy, so it's for your sake. Says the Igle Tav. Aval halomedo mitaneg b'limudo, harei mitarev b'limudo gam hana'at atzmo. Indeed, when you learn, and you enjoy what you're learning, and it's actually speaking to you, and it's resonating with you, you're enjoying it. So the question comes up, is it a bad thing?
On Tisha B'Av, we're not allowed to study Torah, because it makes us happy.
We'll get to that. Uve'emet, says the Egle Tal, zeta'ut meforsam. People make a mistake, and if you say that if you enjoy learning, then you're not doing it lishma, for its own sake, that is a mistake. Ve'adarabba, on the contrary, ki ze ikar mitzvat limuda Torah. This is exactly what Torah learning is all about. Lihiyot sas v'sameach u'mitaneg b'limudo. That you shall be happy and enjoy what you're learning. Va'az divrei ha-Torah nivla'im b'damo. And then and only then does the Torah words sink into your blood and become part of you.
Is this the opposite?
Because you enjoy it, it becomes part of you. Just like when you enjoy whatever it is, it could be a good drink, you continue to buy that drink. When you enjoy learning Torah, you'll continue to learn it. And then it becomes internalized and part of you. And that's exactly what Mr. Finkelstein just quoted beautifully.
Mr. Weiser.
I always get it mixed up. Mr. Weiser says beautifully that, what's the Pasuk say that we say in Pesukei Dezimra on Shabbos? Torah Hashem Tmima Meshivas Navesh Eid Hashem Ne'emana Machlik Vespesi Pekudei Hashem Yesharim Mesam Chelev. The ways of God are straight and they make your heart become happy. And as you could see here, if we don't have the experience, Bruce, it's not going to happen. You need the experience with the toil. But be very careful. Make sure you're enjoying learning the Torah. Do not make a mistake and say, I enjoy sharpening my mind. My tool is a Gemara. That's exactly what's very important to make a distinction between your own enjoyment or enjoying learning the Torah, enjoying doing the mitzvah, enjoying doing whatever it is. Yes?
One of the problems with that is during the time of the Haskalah, there were people who were raised in religious backgrounds, went to Shabbat, and became non-religious, but continued to learn Gemara. And there are many stories of people who are learning Gemara and smoking cigarettes. In other words, they enjoyed the learning, but somehow or other, and they got into the learning, and perhaps knew much more than any of us in terms
Absolutely.
Of the Gemara.
But they weren't doing it for the sake of Torah learning.
Right.
They were doing it for their own sake.
Yeah.
And by the way, you can quote, you probably know the Gemara as well as me, about why was the Bayit Sheni destroyed. There's many different notions brought in Chazal, because we never know why bad things happen to good people. And even if they were bad people, we don't know what the reason is that God destroyed the temple. So the Gemara in Yoma says, Sinas Chinam, but there's other suggestions. One of them is a Gemara in Nedarim. The Gemara in Nedarim says, Shelo Birchu Batorach Tchila. They didn't make Birkas HaTorah. Every morning you get up, you say, Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvosa V'sivanu La'asok B'divrei Torah. You have commanded us to be busy with the Torah. If you're Ashkenazi, that's the bracha. If you're Sfaradi, it's Al Divrei Torah. The bottom line is, they didn't make the bracha. That's such a big avera. So many have explained, the Ranan that Gemara explains, they learned Torah because it was interesting. They learned Torah to sharpen their minds. They didn't learn Torah because it was the words of God.
Albert Ellie, in the States. Shabbos morning, I was sitting about 10, 15, and we were smoking cigarettes and cigars, and they were learning.
Of course. Of course.
Wouldn't we say that that's better than nothing? Because maybe it'll come, we'll bring them back.
You talk shalom lishma balishma. I'm not saying that if I see Jews who are desecrating Shabbos but learning Gemara, I'm going to say terrible, awful, stop it. But definitely it's a good start. But I'm saying that we have to here in this shiur make a very clear distinction between I enjoy it, it's my self-enjoyment, versus Torah enjoyment, Judaism. I enjoy the Judaism.
When people have
said, I enjoy and I resonate with the davening, with the Gemara, with whatnot, versus saying, it's me. I'm happy. I like to dance. I'm dancing. I don't care if it's a chasen and kala here. I like dancing. So the chasen kala is my excuse. The Kabbalah Shabbos is my excuse. Pesach, Shavuos. Many excuses out there. I can't just dance in the street. They'll make me into a bretzlover. I don't want to be a bretzlover. So I got to do something to make it normal. So what do? I go to a wedding to dance. I don't care what the chasen is, what the kala is. I don't care if they have a happy marriage, a bad marriage. It makes no difference to me. I like to dance. That is what I'm warning against. You're dancing in honor to misameach the chasen and the kala to make them happy. Not for your own self-enjoyment. And you should enjoy doing that. You should enjoy going ahead and fulfilling the v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha by going to a wedding and dancing in front of a chasen and a kala. Yeah.
Two points. One, we learned about someone named Yishai Leibowitz. He said if he had any benefit, it's almost a vodah zarah, which was a very unusual idea. It seems to go against this. The other point I was going to ask about secular shivot, where they're learning Jewish material. I'm not sure why they're doing it exactly. I imagine to connect to Jewish material. And maybe eventually it'll take them to actually...
Of course. I'm not saying... Don't think for a moment that I'm saying that it's not a bad way. It's a bad way to start. Of course it's a good way to start. Obviously. It's a wonderful way to start. But start what? Start making people feel good? Or start connecting people to this beautiful idea that I have to share called Judaism? You know, I was asked a question on one of my trips recently that I was never asked before. And the question was something along the lines of as follows. They asked me, how do you view Jews that are not religious? I never was asked that question. How do you view Jews that, you know, have nothing? And I think I told you that I said, I view them as it's, first of all, I take the fault onto myself. I'm not doing a good job. I'm a rabbi. I'm an educator. I'm sending rabbis around the world and we're not getting to this Jew or that Jew. But number two, I say, I feel bad for them. I have this beautiful gift that fulfills my life and the life of my family, and I believe it's the best, most amazing gift, and they're not exposed to it. They don't have it. They don't have it because they didn't have the education. They don't have it because their parents didn't give it to them. They don't have it because, for many different reasons, but I feel bad for them. So I think that, obviously, you have to start somewhere. But you have to start a way to get close to this beautiful gift called Yiddishkeit, called Judaism. Not get close to feeling good, per se. That in and of itself, I think, is very dangerous. And I'll just quote another source to you. It's a very famous Mishnah, Misperkei Avos. Ben Azai came along and said, Havei ratz l'mitzvah kala kebachamura. Run to do mitzvot, whether they're easy or hard, because he says, mitzvah goreret mitzvah, aveira goreret aveira, mitzvah brings another mitzvah, and aveira brings another aveira, everyone knows that. Says, the Mishnah, schar mitzvah mitzvah. What is the payoff for doing a mitzvah? Doing another mitzvah. That's a payoff. You just put on tefillin, yashar koyach, give tzedakah. Okay, I gave tzedakah. Yashar koyach, go help the lady across the street. I just helped the lady. Yashar koyach, now say hello to your mother, kibud avayim. That's a payoff. I want to relax. Payoff should mean I take my money, I go to the restaurant, and I eat a good meal. What kind of payoff is that? Explains Rabbi Ovadia Mibar Tanura. Back in the old and old and old and olden days, there used to be a perush on the Mishnah. You may have seen it in a dinosaur museum somewhere called Rabbi Ovadia Mibar Tanura. Have you heard of him?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. Now, we're very lucky today. Rav Pinchas Kahati, Zichron Levecha, Tzadik Levracha, brought a beautiful perush on the Mishnayos. It's clear. It's coherent. If you learn his perush, you probably learned half a shas with it. Every Mishnah usually has a preface, has a beautiful perush. So Rav Ovadia Mibar Tanura, which used to be the interpretation, is not learned as much. But he's definitely an interpretation that we should still look at. So he says as follows. How is it that the payoff of a mitzvah is a mitzvah? שמן השמיים מסיין ומסמים ביד מי שעשה מצווה אחת שיעשה אחרת כדי לתת לו שכר על שתיהן. That since you love doing mitzvos, God will give you more mitzvos. It's because you love doing mitzvos. And he goes on to say, שכל מה שאדם מסתכר ומתענג בעשיית המצווה, נחשב לו מצווה בפני עצמה, ונוטל שכר למצווה שעשה, והעונג והנאה שנעשה בעשייתה. Since you enjoy doing mitzvos, God will give you other mitzvos to do. But if you don't enjoy doing mitzvot, let's turn it around. You enjoy your own self-fulfillment. You enjoy your own gratification. What do we call that in fancy English? Self-gratification. Good, Bruce, you're listening. Therefore, says the Rav Avadya Mibar Tanura, why would the payoff for a mitzvah be a mitzvah? I don't like doing mitzvot. It's just my means to do what I want. But if I like doing mitzvot, if I like getting closer to God, if I like sanctifying my life and elevating it through mitzvot, then of course the payoff for a mitzvah is a mitzvah. That's only on the assumption that you enjoy it. But if you don't enjoy it, if you find no fulfillment in it, if you put on tefillin in the morning, you take it off and it meant nothing. As a matter of fact, it's an annoyance. It leaves marks on your hand. It leaves a mark on your hair, especially if you take a shower beforehand. And you have no way to wipe it off. Then why would the payoff for tefillin be putting on tefillin again the next day? It's not a payoff, it's an annoyance. So therefore, today I think it's very important to say two things. A, the enjoyment and the experience and the elevation is important in Judaism. But B, let's not make a mistake. Make sure the enjoyment is coming as a result of doing the mitzvah. Not, I'm doing the mitzvah to get enjoyment. I'm doing the mitzvah and I get enjoyment from it. Beautiful. It's very much like the analogy I once said to people that run after getting aliyahs. Do you get an aliyah and say, the Torah reading is the most important thing and I'm getting the aliyah as a means to bring it to the congregation? Or the Mishaberach is the important thing. The aliyah is the means for the Mishaberach. But the Mishaberach, where I give my donation, and everybody goes, whoa, that's the most important thing. I want you to think about that. Is the Torah reading important, per se? Or is it the Mishaberach that's important? Which one are you going after when you get the aliyah? And that's exactly the question I throw out to you today. So ultimately, it's very important to experience the mitzvah and to feel elevated and happy with it. But don't make a mistake. That's on the assumption that you're being happy because of the mitzvah. Not the mitzvah is the means for me to be happy. Yes?
Well, obviously there's so many, let's call them non-religious Jews or non-Orthodox Jews. They like Shabbos because they like the Kiddush and lunch. And they like Pesach because they have a good dinner. And they like Purim because it's a few drinks. And they like Hanukkah because it's the latkes. And whatever it is, these food events and other nice aspects of Judaism keep them in the fold. But they're not doing it for religious reasons.
B'toch shalolishma b'lishma. Of course. I'm not smarter than Chazal. Having said that, when you eventually get to the Lishma, don't make a mistake to yourself. When you become that from Jew, don't make that mistake. When you're dancing like a crazy at the wedding, are you doing because you like to dance? Are you doing it in honor of the Chassan and the Kala?
Yeah, well, let's say you say
well, that's so exactly you like what I'm dance. Talking about.
With that presence, you know what? I'm there.
That's wonderful. I like to learn and I'm learning. That's great. That's very nice. Nothing wrong with it. But at the end of the day, when you say, I have a religious spiritual experience, that's where I say, be careful. I don't mind people saying, I like to learn and therefore I'm coming to Yashir. I like to learn Torah, I like to learn philosophy, I like to learn many things. No problem. He's being very honest. But if a person comes to you and said, I had a spiritual experience, and I say, what was it? And then you find out that the guy loves to drink alcohol, and therefore Purim talks to him, you understand he's not drinking because it's Purim, he's drinking because he likes alcohol. Let's be honest, let's call a spade a spade. He's using Purim to drink.
This whole question is the basis of the one of the main machlokets in the state. When Jews came back to this country, even today, to rebuild the country, it had nothing to do with being a Jewish state per se, and others did it because there's a mitzvah in building Eretz Yisrael as a Jewish society. That goes on to this very day.
I don't understand.
The Jews who came here as secular Jews, who wanted to build a country for Jews, nothing to do with the Torah whatsoever. First, people who felt that they want to build a Torah society because it's a mitzvah to do so. And the motivations are very important, and the conclusions are important. So that question then is the same question today, of what is the purpose of the state and why are people living here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeshua?
Could be.
Rav Yeshua, with your permission, I want to connect it to yesterday's Torah reading and ask you what you think about it. It's an idea I was thinking about Shabbos. A few mitzvos, like Tefillah and Pesach, are connected with two words, Ot and Zikaron. And I tried to make a delineation between the two. And I was thinking, Ot is the idea. It's like the idea of there's a Yichud of Am Yisrael. Shabbat is an oath. Things that are ideas. When it comes to Zikaron, it's history. Those are the mitzvot masiyot. So the proper, maybe we'll call them the proper lishma, well, the full commitment would be a combination of having an idea but doing it practically. Would you accept that idea?
I think so, but I'll say it a little differently in the words of Rav Kook. And that's what we're going to pick up with on Wednesday. When you have a spiritual experience, you have to be sure. You have to be positive, and you have to be aware that that Jewish experience is connected to your brain. It's not, I'm dancing. Oh, now let's get serious. Proper Jewish experience is connected to a cognitive emotion and cognitive awareness of what you're doing. It can't just be experience over here, intellectuality over there. I believe one has to be connected to the other. Maybe that's what you mean with Ot and Zikaron. And ultimately, that's what we'll pick up on Wednesday. But today we established that you have to be very careful to make sure that it's a spiritual experience and not my experience, not self-gratification, but Jewish gratification. God willing, on Wednesday we'll pick up and talk about when is it, so why is it so important to connect the brain to the heart? When you have these experiences. Because if the brain and the heart are in two different realms, I'm not so sure you're having a Jewish experience.